Hey guys, welcome to Yes Journal Radio. Thank you, disciple followers that have listened in to Beyond the Veil. Now we have three co-hosts, myself, Star, Lyles, and Aaron Jones. Tonight's show will take you on an adventure of our lives and what led us into our spiritual path. We'll be asking each other questions and tell you what to expect with ongoing shows. Let's start. Aaron, we have you on the line, right? Oh. Aaron, do we have you on?
Yeah.
Okay, let's start with you because I know you're not able to join us for the entire show, but we were going to kind of go over what, you know, obviously what people can expect of our shows and about each other and everything, and then we can also tell them about next week's show. But let's start with you. Did you want to hit your questions that you may have or your goals for the show? Or
Well, my goal for this show is to make it a forum, not so much as a sit and listen to the show, but a forum. But I think we should start with the questions for me so that I can go when needed.
Yeah. Any questions that you might have for Star or myself, we could kind of start there, and then Star and I can finish up afterwards. And if we have any callers that want to join us in chat, we'll get chat open, and they can always throw in questions there, or if they want to call in as well with questions. But if you want to get started there.
Okay, so what is it that we do? What is it that our group does?
Well, what our group does is we go and, of course, investigate any claims of the paranormal that is brought to our attention. Our main focus is helping people that are still alive, and then helping those that are not to cross over if that's what they want to do, to help get messages to their loved ones if that's what they want. And we just do a variety of other things too, along with this radio show that we have. Lisa, did you want to expound on that?
I mean, I think the important thing too is the follow-up. A lot of people not following up, they'll go in and investigate these homes, kind of, I don't want to say wreak havoc, but, you know, paranormal does intensify when you're in their homes and investigating, and then they leave and they're like, oh, yeah, by the way, you do have some activity here, or, you know, or now you have more activity, and they don't help them out or don't tell them what to do or make recommendations. And so I think that's important, the follow through and following up with them afterwards, and even touching base a month later. I've had, people reach out to me, you know, months afterwards and say, thank you for coming out. I really appreciate it. And they let me know how they're doing afterwards.
Fantastic.
Good answer, Lisa.
Aaron, did you have – actually, did we have any questions we want to hit with Aaron, Star?
Yeah. Aaron, are you up for a few questions?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I've got a lot.
You know, I have people ask me about you sometimes, you know, if we're going to go on an investigation together.
Yeah.
Mediumship.
I think I've lost you guys. Can you hear me?
Star, yeah, I can. Star, your audio went out for a second there, so we missed part of that.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're good now.
Okay, I feel like I'm on a phone commercial. I have people ask me when you and I are investigating together sometimes, Aaron, before you get there, they'll ask me, well, how did he become a medium? Or did he become a medium? Was he born that way? Can you tell us a little bit about how that you came to know that you were a medium?
Well, I've been able to see and speak with those who've passed since I was very young. In my mother's culture, we believe it's because of the amount of times that I've passed away and come back, that I've brought back some kind of sight with me from the other side. But I've been able to do this, been able to see and speak with past people who have gone over for many, many years since I was very, very young. I was able to talk. One of the first inklings that my family had that I could do this was when I would talk to a friend who wasn't really there, and I could I tell you who he was, what he did, described him, and then I even picked him out in a series of pictures. And the woman who helped us or helped my parents figure out who they did told us that this person had passed many years ago.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I mean, so they substantiated that for you because you had never even heard of this person, and yet you described
it. Would you say your parents or your family's accepting of it?
Yeah, definitely. They're not scared by it or weirded out by it, but there's definitely things that are unknown about it, and so it's learning for them too. So I mean, I don't know everything. I don't know, you know, I'm not the know all, see all, do all, but it's still, even at, you know, in my 30s, I'm still learning what it means and what different things are and how they connect and correlate.
Well, Aaron, I've got a question for you. In your lifetime, what has been your most intense or interesting experience that you've had with being a medium?
Well, that's hard because it's not like you could turn it off.
Right.
It's not a switch. But I think the most intense stuff was when I was younger and I was unable to understand or differentiate between the different entities or whatever you want to call it that would come to me. And it was more like monsters than it was people. And so I think that was the most intense was when I was younger. If we're talking about incidences as an adult, I mean, it's a commonality for me. So there's really no one bigger than the other. They're all independently different and unique in their own way. But when we did the investigations at Yorktown, I have never been in a place that had so many in one area. And that was a little intense for me. That was a lot. So.
That kind of leads to a question about, I was going to ask you about protective jewelry, clothing, what you use for investigating, if there's anything specific.
Well, I wear my religious icon, so I have an Ankh and Star of David. I also smudge before and after every investigation, and then I also say a prayer. And it's just a way of kind of enforcing my own spiritual energy, enforcing my own spiritual protection.
So you said that you say a prayer and you wear your jewelry, you smudge. Could you tell us, you know, which religion or religions do you follow?
So I follow two cultures. So half my family are Cree Indians and the other half are Jewish. And so I say a Jewish prayer. I take tallit with me as a symbol of my faith and you know, the Stars of David, and then I smudge as a sign of the Cree people to kind of wash away the negativity.
I have a question for you, because it's highly kind of debatable. I mean, I hear all the time people arguing about it. Do you believe, and Star, this, I'll have to ask you this one later as well. Do you believe in children's spirit?
that
they're evil. I do. By that.
Yeah, and I don't think that they're evil. I think that that if they are there, that they follow the same parameters. They're either lost or they're confused or they just don't want to go. And I think that yes, there are some things that are evil that use that as a means in which to gain trust. But I don't think it's always the case. I think that there are truly some children who are out there that are just, they're here. They're either stuck here or they don't want to leave or they just don't understand what is going on. I hate to cut this short, but I really have to get back.
Okay.
We are in a work crisis. But good luck with the rest
That's
of the show,
right.
guys. And,
yeah.
I'll see you guys in the next
good
week.
Good to have you join us. Okay. Well,
yeah,
we'll
thanks,
see
Aaron. We'll
right.
see you.
Yep. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye, Aaron. All right, Star,
well,
I'm going to hit
it's...
you up next.
now I'm in the
I'll
hot
start
seat.
With one. You're in the hot seat. Aaron's like, let me jump out of this hot seat really fast. No, he had to get back to work. Like he said, a work crisis. But next week is going to be a great show on ufology that you guys will not want to miss. And we'll talk about that later. But, Star, I had kind of a handful of questions for you as well. That will help with
okay.
people getting to know you and everything. Gosh, where do I even start? So I know you have the religious background as far as being a pastor. So that kind of plays into some of my questions and what you would say to people who say that if you're dabbling in the paranormal, you're dabbling with the devil. You know, some people just kind of have that fear and that, you know, I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
I don't even know what,
yeah.
what to say or where
well,
to go with
and,
that.
And there's a lot of people that believe that. I think that there's so many things that we just don't understand yet. And I know a lot of people say, well, let's just don't understand it. Let's just leave it be, let it lie. But I believe that we're created a flesh and bone, but we also have a soul and a spirit. And yes, there's a lot of people that are going to say that, but it's just not that way. You know, God, and I'm a Christian. I'll just tell that to everybody up front and foremost. I've been a pastor and so on. And so, you know, I get this question all the time. And it is difficult to answer. God made us so complex, and it's not just all cut and dried. Yes, there's black and there's white, but there's a lot of gray area in there also. Do we run across evil things sometimes? Yes.
Right.
Do we run across what I believe to be ghosts or the soul or the spirit of somebody that has passed on? Absolutely. And it's those that I want to help. You know, why are they still here? Are they wanting to be here? Are they stuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For that,
I know I'm not answering
it
right off, but that's a difficult question.
No, you are.
To answer.
And it's kind of, in medicine, it kind of reminds me of, well, just medicine in general, they say, some people will say, oh, practicing medicine is playing God. You know what I mean? Because you're
yeah.
saving these people instead of letting them die. And it's
right.
kind of the same kind of thing, you know, you're dabbling in, you know, so I kind of parallels, and I totally get what you're saying. Another question, as far as evidence, some people have different, I think every group has different requirements as far as what they consider valid evidence, like the validity. Do they want two pieces, three pieces? Do they want audio and video, or do they want a photo too? Or what do you consider
mm-hmm.
valid evidence, and what would you consider your standards?
My standards are, and what I consider valid is, when you have three pieces of evidence that fit together, like if you have something on video or if you have something on audio with the video, and then you have equipment usage that is going off at the same time you're picking up something on video and audio. I like having three different pieces of things come together to, and to me that validates the one thing. You know, there's a lot of times that I see on the internet, somebody will post and say, this was a ghost sighting and so on and so on. Well, it very well may be, but you can't prove it by just showing the video.
One photo. Yeah.
Yeah. It's you know, I like to have all three things in there together, and it may be a combination of three different things besides what I listed. But three is a good number to put it all together.
I agree. And I think that's what's hard, like, with showing evidence online, because it's, you know, one, you have to go off of the group. Like, do you know them? Are they respectable, reliable?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, without, you know, just seeing obviously the environment and a still photo, it's just so hard to tell. And people want to see your evidence, and they want to see what you've done. And, like, you know, our website, if people want to check it out, you know, it's in the works. It's usparanormal.us. But, you know, how do you, I mean, you would have to post, like you said, all three pieces. I mean, I suppose you could do that. Sometimes you only get one or two. But and then I guess in that case, you know, it's just considered a personal experience, which is still, I mean, for us that want to learn more, it's still just as good to me, because it's not something we're proving to to, like, some board, you know what I mean? Obviously, the more the better, but the stuff like we experienced at Yorktown, all the personal experiences, I mean, that'll tell you, God, there's so much more that we don't know.
Oh, yeah, there's so much out there. And, you know, the computer, you could do so much with a computer to enhance a video and to make it look one way that it did not look before. Mm-hmm. And you've just got to be so careful with that. And if we could, I'd blow up the internet probably putting all different kinds of things on there to, just to prove one. Yeah.
I know. So it's like, it's almost like, do you post evidence? Do you not post evidence? So I've seen groups do it, but then they get blasted for it because people are critical and judgmental, you know? And so that's kind of where I'm like with ours. Do we start posting stuff? Do we not post stuff because, you know, of that issue?
Mm-hmm.
But like you had asked, Aaron, I wanted to ask you your goal as team in the show, the radio and everything.
Well, and it's basically what I've said already. It's to help people. And you know, the families or whomever that has a they think that their house is haunted, we go in and do an investigation, do whatever, and find out that it's just the pipes.
Yeah.
Well, it's helping that person not to be scared. But then again, it could turn into something, and I want to be able to help them and give them a place to look besides just being so fearful all the time.
Instead of jumping at every little noise.
Right. Well, I've got a question for you.
Go for it. What you got?
You're just taking over and just running away with it now.
I've got question after question. What you got for me?
I know. Well, that's all right. That's all right. Well, how did you get interested in or become a paranormal investigator?
Well, I've had several experiences over the years. Some people are already kind of aware of my childhood and having the deceased siblings. I've got three that died in a house fire when I was a baby that I wasn't aware of until I was in middle school. And I would see them as a kid, you know, playing in the hallways of the old home. And then in middle school, I kept pushing my parents why my brother wasn't named the third, because my father was a junior. And finally, they were like, well, because there was already, you know, Kenneth Christopher the third. And so then I found out I had three deceased siblings that died, you know, they were between the ages of like 2 to 4. And that's the age that I was seeing them when they were playing in the house. And then, you know, it was just that, you know, you get experiences after that. And after that, that would have been my first one at age 7. But they continued from there just intermittently. And then it was around 2011 is when I started to, you know, when it became more accepted, then it's like, okay, well, I can go actually investigate and check this stuff out and experience for myself and get answers to these questions and find out more. And so then it just kind of took off from there.
Awesome. Well, what's your most memorable experience?
Oh, you know, I don't know. There's so many because, you know, I think Yorktown is probably amongst the top, you know, I think it was just so intense for me. And it's one of those places that just calls me back and I just want to go back so bad. It's one of those places that you feel like it's almost like a war. Like you have to go back and beat it. I think it's because of all the negativity, you know, the negative energy there, even though there's the positive. And there's, and the kid there and everything. But then I've had just so many funny moments and great experiences. I mean, there's been, like, there was a cowboy church that we did where, you know, we did the spirit box and, you know, we said how many, there was Rough Riders and there was a tomb out front and there was, I think, seven of them. And, you know, we said, you know, how many Rough Riders are there? And, you know, and it's a seven. And it just kept answering question after question. And that it was an old cowboy church, but so it was one of those churches that it's just like one tiny room. And then it had the whole outdoor with the piano outdoor and the covering. And it was just this just old country historic place that was kind of a really awesome place. And then, you know, there's just and then you get your funny moments where, you know, I one time caught an investigator snoozing and it's not so much memorable as in experience. It's, I just like to goof around as well when I'm investigating. So, you know, he's snoozing and I throw something at him. And he's got the camera going, but he just kind of dozes off because he had been working all day. And he jumps up and flies out of that room so damn fast and flinging his arms and everything. And he, like, I guess thought he was attacked or something. And everybody in the room is just laughing hilarious and, you know, can't quit laughing. And it's just stuff like that, keeping it lighthearted while you're investigating and having those little moments. It's not, you know, it's not just some big joke, but at the same time, you can't be, you know, dead serious and just, you know, not have any fun with it. So
yeah, you gotta have a little fun with it.
Yeah. So I've had too many memories, really. You can't just pick out one. And there's been good, bad, funny. Intense, you know, intense would be Yorktown.
Right. Yes, that was intense. And you guys are going to hear us probably talk about Yorktown quite a bit throughout the time that we're on the radio. It was one of the most intense experiences I think I've ever had as far as being drained and so on. And all of the experiences that we all had there. It was amazing.
Oh, yeah. And so I was going to ask you about equipment and if you had, like, a preferred piece, like, that you – actually, not only a preferred piece, but also if there's something that you have never tried, whether it's an experiment or a preferred piece of equipment that you would like to.
My preferred piece of equipment is going to be my little Sony camera that I've got. It's an older one, but it has night vision on it, and I also can do I can't even think of it right now, but the ultraviolet light. But anyway, I think that would probably be my favorite piece of equipment because it picks up so well on the audio also, and it picks up very well with things moving. As far as what I want to try in the future would be a creation of Steve Huff, and that would be his Wonder Portal. I've been wanting to see that. It's portable that you can carry around with you, and
how does it work, or what's the...
You know, I'm not exactly sure. I think it's kind of along the lines of a SB7 or a spirit box.
Oh, okay.
But I've seen it being used Well, I saw it being used by Steve on YouTube on his channel at Steve Huff, but then I also saw it being used by Nick Groff on Paranormal Lockdown. That's one of his favorite ones that I can recall because he uses it quite a bit. But just seeing Steve Huff use it on YouTube was amazing at some of the things that he got. It was so clear. It was not just one word answers to his question, but sometimes it was a full sentence. And it's just amazing to watch this thing.
Well, hopefully we can get him on soon. We're going to have an episode on equipment, and we're looking at getting Huff as well as Jeremy Jones. Hopefully mm-hmm. both of them, you know, split the show in half and talk to both about different types of equipment and how they work. So that would be
right.
Really good if we can get both of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got another question for you.
Okay.
Have you ever had anything follow you home?
Yeah, that's kind of a lengthy, kind of a lengthy story. So, I'm not sure from where. Obviously, we investigate a lot of places. Obviously, we use protection as much as we can, from jewelry to prayers to smudging, you know, everything mm-hmm. we can, saying, please don't follow us home. You know, you have to remain here. And you can only do what you can do, obviously. And when you're open anyways, you know, things are just naturally attracted to that beacon of light. We had, you know, I had an apartment in the Keller-Fort Worth area at the time. And my daughter, first I was getting bruised and scratched. And then it got to the point where my daughter was getting bruised and scratched really bad. And at that point I had called out a demonologist that I know, a priest, and I, you know, consulted with him, and he said, let's go ahead and do a cleansing of the home. So he had come through and did a cleansing and said some stuff and threw a bunch of crosses down. And I don't know, you know, all of that. I'm not, I'm definitely not a demonologist. We'll have to, that's for another show, but, definitely a little unnerving when they, you know, I mean, obviously they open all the windows, all the doors, and clear out every, you know, corner. They hit every corner and go of the house and every, you know, nook and cranny and closet. And they, you know, he made his markings above the doorways and all that kind of stuff. And it's a little scary when that happens. And normally they do it in, I guess, groups like two or three, because they say if there is a true demon, which I wasn't so worried about demons because, you know, obviously I figured it's just a negative entity. But if it were, they say that, you know, it's going to do everything it can to stop that cleansing or that exorcism. And so
right.
if the first pastor was to collapse or could not, you know, was somehow stopped and could not finish what they're mm-hmm. doing, then the second one needs to take over. So when he told me that, of course, that makes me nervous, because then I'm like, okay, well, so you've got no backup. He hands
right.
me the Bible and says, here's, you know, here's this, here's the Bible. If I stop it, I can't continue. You need to continue, and this is what you need to say, and this is what you need to do. And I'm like, okay. You know, that's obviously a little.
It's a little unnerving.
Freak out. Yeah, yeah,
oh, yeah.
Exactly. So, and luckily I've not had that. I mean, obviously spirits come and gone since and stuff, but, you know, and I think occasionally I'll get the poltergeist, and, you know, I do have my doll still,
uh-huh.
you know, that has the attachment. So, you know, you will still get activity and stuff, but nothing, you know, it's all just benign, nothing significant.
Uh-huh.
And I think, you know, little one, she's not around, but I think she sees things as well.
Uh-huh.
So.
Well, and how is your little girl Maggie doing?
She, for those of you that don't know, so I have this doll I got from an old New York estate, and Aaron graciously told me her name is Maggie. And she is a toot, and she gets sassy and cries and whines and throws fists. And when Aaron and Star and Steve at the time came to investigate with me one time in Texas, she, I mean, things were being thrown around. Equipment was being thrown around. It was something. But she has this thing for Aaron and wants Aaron's attention and has to be around Aaron. And he believes in transference, right? Where if you touch
transference.
So if you touch something, so he won't touch her. He's like, I'm not touching her. I remember the first time he saw Becky, he is like, get that thing out of the room. And now he has to be in the same room or she won't leave him alone. So it's kind of humorous. It's like a love-hate relationship between that doll and him.
Well, yeah. And we need to remember why she was throwing things around at that time, too, is she was upset because Steve had brought a doll, and she was a little jealous.
Correct.
Yes.
Which is silly, but yes, one of the other investigators had his own doll that he brought. And they didn't mesh too well.
No, they did not. She was. I remember one instance she threw a blanket, literally threw a blanket across the room.
So, Star, I have one for you about spirit guides. And I don't recall if I've ever asked you, but have you met yours? And do you know who they are or what they are? Because, you know, some people believe in only people or animals or both.
I believe in guardian angels. So that's where I stand with that. I also believe that that you're given that guardian angel or a guardian angel to walk with you through this life. I have seen, I believe, my guardian angel, my guardian, in my dreams. I'm a dreamer. And there have been times when I've been taken different places in my dreams and shown things. And I usually write them down in a journal. Some things have come true, some things have not. But my guardian angel, when I do see this being, has on like a brown wool robe like you would see monks wear, or a friar like Friar Tuck in Robin Hood. And he has a hood. The hood is pulled up over his head. He's got a rope tying around his waist. But that's I never have seen his face. I've never seen the hands. Just that's who I see, and they will whisk me away and take me somewhere. So, but that's what I believe in. So, or what I have seen.
What about
did that answer
kind
your question?
That kind of touch, yeah, and it kind of actually touches on astral travel or projection. I guess you could kind of stay in a way because you're. Or lucid dreaming. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you would classify it. I was going to ask you about all those. Excuse me, I got to sneeze.
Well, bless you.
I got to have at least three. So three must mean something special because it's always three. So what about auras? Do you ever see auras?
No, I don't. Well, if you're talking about like a color around somebody, I don't really see a color around anybody, but I see, and I don't see it all the time. I cannot just say, show me yourself at any time. It just, whenever it wants to, it shows me a name or a word above somebody that may describe how they're feeling or what they're going through or something that they have done. But I don't see the colors. I just see a word above their head. It's kind of it's kind of weird. I don't think I've ever heard anybody else that has done that, but
well, everybody's
of course
different.
I don't go
up
to somebody and just
ask them. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and like with Aaron, I was going to ask him if his is sight, hearing, you know, just knowing, because you know how with mediums and all that, I mean, it's all different how you collect the information. I mean,
right. Well, I know he sees them, you know, and
right.
And there are times when he has said, I can sense them, but I don't see them right in here, so they must be in another room. So, but other than that, I can't answer for him. I don't really know, but
right.
He sure is a fun character to be around, though.
Oh, I know. He's going to be a hoot for the show. What
yeah,
about the
is.
Children for you? I'd asked him about the children and his beliefs in the children's spirit and that whole debatable thing.
Exactly what he said. I do believe that there are children spirits that for whatever reason are still here. But I also believe that evil spirits can make themselves appear as little children to deceive, to get them to trust, to get someone to trust them. And, you know, and then get them in whatever way, which usually leads to oppression, depression, and so on and so on in some people.
Right.
But that's what he said. Yeah, I agree with him.
Well, we're getting down to the last 5 minutes, so I thought maybe we could mention the Glen Rose event that's coming up as well as our next show. So the next show is January 24th. We're going to be keeping to Tuesdays. We may have an occasional Sunday or random day, but it's over ufology, which Star has picked out. It's a great topic. And we've got the Michigan MUFON state director, and his name is Bill. I'm probably going to butcher the last name, but it's Kunkuleski. And I saw him speak. Yeah. I saw him speak in Michigan, and very good, very knowledgeable. It's going to be a great show. So that's already uploaded, so people can go in and, you know, mark that they're coming to that. So
right.
We have that. And then in March, we are sponsoring the 6th annual Texas Parunity Festival there in Glen Rose. It's at the Somerville County Expo Center, same place as it is every year. And that's a great place. You haven't been, and Aaron has not been yet, but they have, normally they have, you know, they always have the vendors and tables and all that set up. They have speakers, they have mediums, you know, obviously for readings and stuff. It's an all-day thing from like 10 to 6 p.m. They used to have investigations at night. This year they had a couple new people take over it because the normal host moved. I think she's still in Texas, just moved further south. So, you know, with these people taking over, I don't believe there's any investigation. So we'll have to actually plan on some kind of investigation that evening ourselves while we're there in Glen Rose. I've been working on that. But so I think that's about it. So, Star, did you have anything before we head out and wrap up the show?
No, I'm just excited about the shows that are coming up. And now, next week, will they be able to call in? Will anybody be able to call in?
Yes.
Ask questions?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they could tonight. For some reason, we could not get chat open, and I cannot figure out why for the life of me. I tried the whole time. So we'll try to get that open next go-round, and people can call in on any Tuesday night when we're live. They can call in. The numbers are always posted. The call-in number is posted on each, you know, link there with the Facebook where it has the info and the event. There's always the call-in number, and you hit number one for the host. So absolutely.
Right. That sounds awesome. Right. I'm just excited about what we're doing. I'm excited to get to work with you again. We have so much fun when we're together. It's always an adventure.
I know. It's like a family reunion.
Even though we haven't known each other very long, it's like we've known each other all of our lives, all three of us.
You know, and I got to thinking about that the other day, and it's been actually quite some time when you think about it. It's been a few years now.
Yeah, a couple of years, actually. You're right.
Yeah, time flies.
Wow.
All right, guys.
I lose track of time.
Right. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. If you'll tune in next Tuesday, that's January 24th, to listen to Bill about MUFON. If you've had experiences, seen stuff in the sky, whatever your UFO experience, been out to the area and want to call in about them, you know, please give us a call. There's the Aurora Cemetery. If you've ever been there, you know, that might be something to talk about next week as well. Please give us a call, call in. And until then, we'll see you next time.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'm looking forward to it.